Right back at you on this Friday. Off the Rails Friday. Have we got Doug McLean?
Actually, it was, yes, we
did. Sammy?
You didn't talk to him?
Buddy, I don't know where he is sometimes.
He's joining us.
He's joining us.
He texted me, not his usual okay. It was a yup. So he may be getting fired up, Doug.
That and the Leaf line on this Friday as well. And we'll get everyone's thoughts on the Toronto Maple Leafs up 3-0 in their first round match. We're glad you're aboard on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We are live on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus. Heroes are just coming out of the woodwork for the Toronto Maple Leafs, and you don't have to spend $10 million a year on them.
No.
Simone Benoit, who had him on the bingo card.
Buddy, after his play in game two, you should have had him somewhere near the card if you didn't have him on it. What a talent.
Undeniable.
Undeniable. I actually really like this on the heels of having Bieksa tell us yesterday how he's earned it and worked his way up through the levels. And, you know, let's face facts.
Kevin was wrong.
Really? About what?
He's a top four defenseman now.
Oh, you called
him. He's not a six. He's a four.
I see.
He played 19 minutes last night.
He ain't playing like a six.
No, he played more than Carlo.
And they're not using him like a six.
No. That's a fair point. They, you know, it's very interesting, though. They're not using anyone like a six. The Toronto Maple Leafs, through three games, all of their D are averaging between 1830 and 2130. Roughly, you know, 2132 or whatever. So within a three-minute range for all six guys. Last year, Morgan Riley played 2450 per game in the first round. Well, they only played one round.
Yep.
And they had four guys under 18 minutes per game. Lilligren, all those guys.
But their strength is obviously blocking shots, protecting the net, and protecting leads. Because Ottawa's had the lead in the series.
7 minutes.
Seven.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, it plays.
That's not a lot of fun.
It plays right into their strength of just minding their net.
Yeah.
Helping out Stolarz. And it's not like they're counting on Benoit to make an end-to-end rush to get them back into a game. No. Or anyone else for that matter.
No. And the more people I talk to about this Leafs team, the more people are just like comfortable with them in close games when it's tied. There just doesn't seem to be a panic that comes from the goaltending, from the defending.
Yeah, quite frankly, it's night and day from what we've watched in years past, the way they can protect a lead. And I know that they've given up two tying goals in back-to-back games against Ottawa, where it was a tip from Gaudette and Brady Tkachuk shoots one in the net last night. But both of those shots were the first shot of the period, and they were doing a brilliant job defending, and they did a brilliant job defending after that goal went in. Right. So it's a different animal for me.
All right, let's go to our first Kippers Clipper on this Off the Rails Friday on head coach Berube's thoughts on his new star defenseman.
Simon opened your eyes to his offensive abilities here the last couple games.
Well, it's happy he got his. It's always great when a guy like that scores a goal, you know, a big goal like that, overtime goal, game winner. You know, Benny's played extremely well for us defensively and being hard to play against and, you know, does all those things. So it's nice when guys like that are rewarded with a big goal. Very happy for him. I think, you know, all types of players go through ups and downs throughout the season, and I know that Benny is the same. And, you know, we used other D at times, and he missed a game here and there, but he was always positive about it and keep working on his game. I think Benny has made some huge strides this year in terms of he always plays physical and hard and block shots and penalty kill and does those sort of things. But he's, to me, he's jumping up in the play more, you know, skating the puck out of our zone more, more confident with the puck is what I see from him, which is a good thing.
26 years old, $1.3 million next year and the year after.
Yeah.
Pretty good deal for the Leafs.
What he pointed out there to me is the beautiful thing about hockey and playoff hockey, which I think is very unique. Like, you're never going to, you know, it's never going to be your third string quarterback that throws a touchdown pass in the, you know, in a big game in the playoffs. It's never going to be, you know, LeBron James is going to have the ball in his hand.
Yeah.
Like baseball is like this, where a guy at the bottom of the order can come up and have a huge home run or whatever. But hockey, in these playoff games, in these overtime games, the unlikely heroes, it's just, it's such a great legacy of these unlikely heroes. Like, I mean, the Corey Cross thing is unbelievable. Like the Battle of Ontario, I should have got Jake to pull it up. It's from almost the exact same spot on the ice to give them a 3-2-1 and a 3-0 series lead. And it's just, yeah. I love this stuff. And I can tell you that, I can't tell you, but I can imagine how much the guys on the team adore this moment. Like how much they're all chirping him, probably calling him sniper. Just like, it's the greatest thing ever. Like just having that guy score that goal.
Kisses off some pants, eh?
For sure. Yeah.
2001, Corey Cross.
What a silly.
3-2 victory.
Yep.
3-0 in the series lead over the same team.
It's crazy,
man. It is. It's really cool.
History doesn't repeat, bad for Ottawa. Sometimes runs.
Yeah, I mean, listen. Ottawa, they're not loving it, but too bad.
Overall, compare game three to game one and two for you in terms of, I don't know, the Leafs play or the big noticeable difference is that you're going in a more hostile environment and the Leafs did, what's the favorite term, weather the storm?
Yeah, weather the storm early. You know, I thought the first couple games they got up and kind of packed it in and just tried to defend a little bit. This game, the score was closer and forced them to play a bit more. Was it the second period where we were all texting or the end of the first where it was like Ottawa needs to get to this intermission?
Because the end Leafs, of the second.
End of the second.
Yeah.
Like there was a switch in the second period where the Leafs found one, got back in it. Like it felt like it was starting to go the Leafs' way the longer the game went on. I feel similarly. Like, you know, you could be a Sens fan and go, God, that one could have gone our way. We played pretty well. But it did feel like the Leafs were marginally better. The big difference, again, you talked about that defending. I got a stat for you. The Leafs are first in playoffs with 123 deflections from Stathletes and first in the NHL in D-zone deflections. Getting sticks in lanes.
It matches the eye test.
Yeah.
We can pick apart a lot of things that you're not quite happy with. I just don't recall ever seeing a hockey club, especially here in Toronto, play so solid between the dots in the middle of the ice and very seldom getting caught.
Yeah.
Very seldom out of position. There's so many times that they've been on the wrong side of the puck over the last few years. And for the first three of these hockey games, man, you can't
play the right way.
You can't find a handful of them in the first three games.
It does feel like it's just they have a lineup they can trust. And I wrote about this today, but like even all their forwards play over 10 minutes. In the final 5 minutes, score tied, all four lines got two shifts. You know, like they're throwing all these guys out of the boards and just depending where the faceoff is, you know, it's D-zone starts for Lawton and it's O-zone starts for Domi and so on. But yeah, there's a lot of trust.
It is something about clearly there's depth and there's different types of players. But the coaching philosophy to me feels like instead of years past where they're coaching to win one round, it feels like they're coaching to go on a run here where they're not overusing anybody. And they're keeping it within, like you said, the, what is it, 18 and 21 between those two numbers. That is just such a difference. Like think about in years past, like what would have, if under Sheldon Keefe, what does Marner and Matthews play in that game last night? 25 minutes?
Yeah.
And it's just, they're not.
I know. I know but it is kind of hard to compare this first round to others past because the level of Tampa and Florida over the last few years, much different than what we're experiencing with the Ottawa Senators.
Boston wasn't very good last year. That was by far the worst version of the Boston Bruins that the Leafs have ever played against, and it still looked the exact same way. So, like, I don't know. I just think it's a pretty stark difference in look.
I had Boston
with this coach
a lot better and more experienced still last year.
No question.
Than what we're seeing out of Ottawa.
What are you seeing at Ottawa?
A team that is learning and a team that isn't quite ready for prime time and 2 out of 3 in overtime. Yeah, you could sit there and say probably couple of bounces might have gone the other way. They actually, in game two and game three, they actually had good looks. And Stolarz is there.
Yeah.
And that's also the biggest difference is one guy's Stolarz and the other one's 850, 860 save percentage in the first three games. I don't know what Allmark is, but it's not that pretty.
Mm-hmm. I would disagree that they had a lot of good looks last night.
They had looks, though. Yeah, they had looks.
I mean, the one look they had in the third period went in. Like, they didn't have a sniff.
Up until that.
Up in, like...
8:15.
Yeah.
Oh, even worse. What did I say? 8:50? 8:15.
8:15
in three games.
391.
I mean, you don't have to go much further than that to know what has not gone well for Ottawa.
But, you know, part of that, too, is the type of chances the D allows. You know, the Leafs were able to generate some high-quality chances when they needed to. So it is, you know, I said this last night, but like, this is the reward for winning the Atlantic Division.
Yes, for sure.
We said that all year long, that like they needed to, a month ago, they were in second place in the Atlantic.
Yeah.
And this could be a very different first round.
And they need to put them away Saturday night.
Yeah.
Like they don't need to go five.
No.
So you hope that they understand that. And they got to believe there's no breathing room at 3-0 right now.
Yeah. I got them at...
Great for them the rest of the week. Win Saturday night. Bad for our show next week.
I got them at, and someone can correct me on this if I'm wrong, it's either 1-10 or 1-11 in games where a win would move them to the next round, going back to the start of the Matthews-Marner era. So they had opportunities to move on against Montreal three times.
They're bad.
Okay.
The numbers are very, very bad.
They're bad. So... My point being, you don't need to play games 5, 6, and 7 and injuries and risk and who knows. You just need to lay it on the line one night like it's a game 7.
All right, let's get Craig Berube's thoughts on the overview of what he saw in game 3.
Tonight. Yeah, we played well. I mean, they came hard in the first 10 minutes. I thought that, you know, we were under pressure, but we did little things right and defended pretty well and, you know, did what we had to do to manage it. And then I thought we got going in the first. Second period was full of penalties a little bit. We got a little bit caught on that side of things, and we had to kill and it kind of disrupted the flow. Third period was really good. We gave up 2 shots in the third period. I know one of them went in, but it was a very good period with our forecheck and our hound and our, you know, puck battles and our smothering forecheck. You know, I thought we did a good job with that. I really liked our third period a lot.
Yeah, that all checks out. I was curious if we want to go to the opposite coach and get his view on the overview, what he saw. We have several from him as well. Do you want to do that at the same time?
Travis Green.
All right, clip one, Green.
Well, there's not much I'm going to say to them right now that's going to help or make them feel any better. You know, it's disheartening, to say the least. I thought both teams played a hell of a game. And, you know, sometimes playoff hockey comes down to little inches or bounces, and, you know, we were on the wrong end of it tonight.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's he's feeling as bad as his players.
Yeah. That wasn't great.
Well, I mean, I didn't mind it.
I mean, it's fine. It's just that you could, I think it is context for how they're feeling.
Yeah.
Disheartened.
For sure. So, I don't know. Did you guys want to give credence to the story that came out from warm-up?
Yeah, I think it's important. I think because, okay. I don't know, you guys said, I didn't even know what was out there. I think my good buddy Darren Drager reported on a warm-up incident last night that the league was investigating, and my first thought was,
okay,
did Ottawa poison the water bottles? Did they deflate the warm-up pucks? What could this be? This is huge! Huge!
I was pretty concerned. I thought the Leafs were going to have to void their win the way he reported that. I was like, oh my God, what is happening?
I thought something substantial had happened. It was like, this is going to be what now with this Toronto Maple Leafs team? The guy flicked a puck at their goalie. Oh my God.
Buddy, this is like... This I expect to be huge news on the GTHL parent chat line. Right? That's a big story.
100%. Yeah.
That's a big story.
My son is being bullied.
That's the exact tone.
Okay?
That is the exact tone. You nailed it.
But this is the NHL. And, you know, this is where, though, it gets to be a little slippery for the league, is that you got to draw a hard line.
Sure.
You do. You have to draw a hard line. You just, there's no room to completely shrug it off either.
No, you can't lightly shoot pucks at other players in warm-up.
No.
That's not allowed.
No. And I can tell you that every year, okay, the National Hockey League.
Who even saw that?
Every year, the National Hockey League has talks with all 16 teams. And there's just things that you got to understand, how to go about certain things. If you got complaints or anything, like, all of it's laid out. And one of the things that's laid out is warm-ups, okay? We're not playing these games any longer. This is not the 70s or the 80s where you dress Reeves.
Stretch on the red and look the other way.
No, or you dress Reeves just for warm-up.
Yeah.
Okay, those days are over.
Did you guys watch the video I sent you today, the old school, the straight-up brawl and warm-ups when there was no refs out there between the Habs and Flyers?
Oh, yeah. I think it used to be a gong show. Warm-up, you were as nervous for warm-up as you were the whole 60 minutes.
It would have been a referendum on the sport. They just like, let's go play the game after that. Yeah. It's unreal.
I think you bump a guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Constant. Guy just always on your half red. And you're like,
a little bit of a butt end while the guy's passing you. All of it. Like, it used to happen all the time. But this is why Ottawa was fined $25,000. It's like,
this is not a hockey play.
Right? It's, you want to mess around? You want to shoot a puck in someone else's zone? You want to try to start something? Here's your $25,000.
Yeah.
But you, both of you will agree that the optics of a full day conversation, media narrative about the video that we just watched and the video that everyone's seen that's listening to this is one of the softest things I've ever
seen. Maybe it's that guy you played pours over the film.
Honestly, it was.
And you know what?
The henchman.
Drager's a reporter.
For sure.
He reported factually correct information.
I'm not putting it on him. I'm just saying in general.
No, I know that. But this also shows you the power of the media, because if Drager doesn't report it and nobody does, they don't have to find anybody. They don't surface that information on their own. They made it a big deal with a $25,000 fine and a fine in Nick Cousins because it was drawn out and they don't want to get caught now. If something progresses next game in warm up, then they get egg on their face because they didn't do anything about the last incident.
Okay. Still.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I'm just telling you the way it works.
Sure. You don't think they'd have fined him if it wasn't.
But it's embarrassing. It's a flick to to a goalie. It's an embarrassing story.
Yeah.
It, in my estimation, for NHL professional hockey.
Let's listen to Travis Green.
It's Travis Green's clip is fantastic on
clip
this.
Clip five on Stolarz and Cousins.
Good five.
Travis, the NHL apparently looking into some pucks getting directed at Stolarz during warm-up last night. Like, what do you make of that?
Well, Mark, you know, it's an active investigation. I don't know if I should be commenting on that right now. So,
have you reviewed the video?
I have people that have advised me maybe not to comment on it. I'm kidding.
Yeah,
I saw the video. It's Nick Cousins and Stolarz have played together. I don't know. Yeah, he's probably trying to either laugh at him or make a joke or get him off his game, and is what it is.
All right. We got to move on.
Oh, no. One more thing. Right. One more thing.
That's such a good clip.
I would put in next season that there's the red line.
Mm-hmm.
You want to cross it, you want to shoot anything that's deemed on purpose to just get on, you're starting the game with a 2-minute unsportsmanlike conduct.
Totally.
Love that.
Totally in on that.
That's
easy.
Before the game, it's
like, I've got the cameras. They're locked in warm up. I see any BS at all.
This is not a hockey.
You
play.
Are starting shorthanded.
I mean, if something happens, it's over. It's after over. The first period, in between intermissions, you get penalized.
There is not a guy that would ever mess in warm up, knowing that he could put his team 2 minutes down.
It would suck for the intros. You could only get to announce 4 names instead of 5. Yeah. The start of the game would be tough.
I remember guys used to pull pucks out of the net and pass them up to center when you're doing line rushes, and someone would just like tip them, just like get a little piece and redirect them up behind you to the other team. That was a good one.
So top line.
Top line. They get 2 goals at even strength, which is good.
Production is there.
Offensive zone faceoff.
Yeah. And hey, credit to Berube. They started OT. Had a pretty decent shift, whatever. Domi shoots at a net. You get a faceoff back out there. What was it, 18:30 on the clock?
Yeah.
He gave him a second shift and a chance in the O zone. So it's less. It's less like, you know, instead of protecting, you're going to play the whole hockey game. It's like, we got a chance to end it. Go throw those guys out in the O zone. Good coaching, got to tell you.
And give Matthews full credit. Just cleaning Pinto out in the dot the whole night.
Yeah.
Like, just heavy stick,
winning every
draw.
65-67% in the faceoff circle. It's huge.
Huge.
That's massive. And obviously the tip pass from Marner to Matthews is absurd.
That's one of the most disgusting plays I've seen a hockey player make.
To like heel that backwards at that angle with force was
It was mint.
And the visual of Allmark looking the wrong direction when the best shooter on planet Earth is about to fire it into an open net is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, I almost thought that when I watched this live, I almost thought that they like blew it dead because there was like a high stick. I didn't know. He was just so frozen.
I saw Sens fans being like, Zub's got to be tighter on Matthews. It's like, he was open for half of a second.
You know? There's like, no way you could anticipate that puck is going to come off the end boards that quickly in that perfect of a spot. That's just an unguardable play.
And Morgan had enough meat on it, right?
Yeah, he peaked it around the boards.
Morgan does not put the weight on it like that.
Great point.
It's difficult for Marner to push it off like that.
Yeah. But you know what? That was part of a great shift there.
No. I know difficult. That. I know. I'm just spreading the love around a little bit. But I don't know how many guys in the world can make that pass.
Not many. It's a handful at best. That was pretty nasty. So, yeah, they took care of business. I don't know what, like, their underlying numbers were or anything like that. But
Max Pacioretty.
Oh, yeah.
Pacioretty, good one.
What did you think about the lineup change? And
I thought third line
worked well.
So much better. I thought physical, heavy, ozone time. I thought McMahon looked more engaged. I just thought it was a line you could use.
5-on-5, it was pretty obvious.
And you?
Yeah, no, heavy.
Yeah.
Finished checks. Everybody pushed hard last night for the Leafs.
Do you want to play the Berube clip on Pacioretty? It's a short but sweet one.
Yeah, let's go.
Clip 8, please, Derek.
I thought he was excellent. I loved his physicality, skated well, made some nice plays that line. You know, they had a couple opportunities. I thought he was really good for us.
I love that player. I love the guy.
I thought it was just such a feel in the game. The first shift he has, he just immediately puts someone on the ice. Like the first shift, the first
hollow too.
Yeah, like
there was
like 3 seconds into his first shift in 75 days, and he puts someone down immediately. And you're like, oh yeah, Nick Robertson's just not doing that.
Yeah.
And it's a big, heavy game. And he said he wanted a big veteran old guy in there, and he got what he wanted. So credit to him.
Don't change the lineup?
No way.
Don't change the lineup.
No way.
I can't even find a spot to put Camp in.
Maybe one suggestion.
What's that?
Saturday night.
Don't say Wall.
Joseph Wall.
No way. No way.
You're
so disrespectful.
You're
that would be so disrespectful.
You're up 3-0. No. Listen.
Oh my, I get it.
It's okay.
I'm plugging.
It's all right. It's just a thought. It's just a thought. At 3-0, you want to keep Joseph Wall in the mix here. Your Stolarz, you want to protect him a little bit too. I don't know. Is he 100% healthy? Has he tweaked anything? Like,
are you suggesting he did, Kipper?
I am suggesting that if you want to ride this guy for the next month and a half, 2 months, it's worth a thought.
It's worth a thought, and I'm not shooting down the thought. But, you know, win game four, and he's going to have a week off.
I'll put the bullets in my gun to shoot down the thought.
All right. Okay.
Listen. I got to be honest with you.
I'm not saying.
The thing is, they were a tandem all year, and Wall's a 9-10 guy.
I'm not saying. But, can I just say that if you put Wall in, and he is fantastic as well, and they close out in four games, it's a good feeling. It's a good feeling for everybody knowing that you got two good goalies. And if anything happens to Stahls in the next round or the third round, Wall's right there, my friend.
Full disclosure, because we're doing Leafs line in the next, I had a call from Matt in Toronto about this very take.
Yeah.
And I was like, that is the most absurd thing. I would not put it in there. I couldn't even entertain that.
After the Leaf history and their inability to close out a series, I'm not saying for me it's a gimme decision.
Yeah.
But at 3-0 and you want to keep that guy in the mix a little bit, it's worth a thought.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
I feel the same way about Kampf. He's not going to cost you a game if you want to get him in before the next round, you know. But how much are you counting your chickens if you're starting to make decisions like that?
Yeah, that's a decision where you're like, we've got this in the bag.
Yeah,
and yeah,
I disagree. It's not.
It doesn't make you a worse team.
Mike Richter and Glenn Healy. They were fantastic, and at no time did we ever feel throughout that season that if Glenn Healy played, we weren't going to win.
Right.
That's all. And I think they got a little bit of Stolarz and Joseph Wall going right now that you don't want to just disregard Joseph Wall.
No. But I think if you're the coach, you wouldn't do it.
Okay.
I wouldn't. Sam's baffled.
I wouldn't dream of it.
So before, you know, we got only time for another, minute or two. We got tons of clip. On being down 3-0, on what you want to see from Saturday night, do you want to hear?
I actually think, because I think a huge storyline going into Saturday night, and it's already kind of started with the Sens, and I'll talk to you two about this, is the 0-3 thing. Brady, I mean, we can play Brady's clip about it, but they're already kind of alluding to it. Giroux's talking about it when they did it with the Flyers when they came back. They're already starting to kind of plant those seeds. So I think Killer Instinct will be a big talking point over the day tomorrow, kind of leading into
the
game.
Killer Instinct.
And Berube had a really good clip on it. So clip 7 on Killer Instinct, please.
Well, you can learn and apply it. I think that, most athletes and veteran athletes have it. You know, they understand. But again, all we can do is, understand what you need to do every shift as a player. And, the battling and the competitiveness that you need and the puck play, the smart puck play and all those types of things. That's a process that you need to focus on. The killer instinct will take care of itself. You do things right. But it's going to boil down to competitiveness and battles. It really is. That team battles over there. They're competitive. They got a lot of good players. So we got to really make sure that we're focused on competing, battling, structure, and just, understand our process throughout the game.
Puck battle win percentage in game 3, 60.4% for Toronto to 39.
Yeah, and I think the guys on Hockey Night did a 50-50 kind of scenario. Mm-hmm. And, with all due respect to Craig, he says the right things about any team that he has ever played over this season. They're all hard competitors, and they're really, really good. But Ottawa just does not compete as hard for a lot of those loose pucks right now. And that is a difference.
I mean, isn't that a credit to Berube, though, in terms of...
Sure. And them. And then the players.
For sure. We've seen some of this personnel not do that in years past. So I think you do
Craig
have to give
Berube
him... Exactly. I think you have to give him a lot of credit for just how hard they are playing.
I think as you're seeing them have success, it breeds buy-in, right? Guys are more inclined to believe this works. Yeah. Oh, this works when we keep it simple. This works when we just battle.
Mm-hmm.
and you get better and tougher to play as you go. We should go for Leafs line.
Well, let's. No, we got a couple more clips here.
But the Leafs line is so good. And it's brought to us by Fried.
Can we please?
And it's Friday, and JB doesn't want to work that hard.
Can we please play Simone Benoit's clip on his goal?
Simone, is that the biggest goal you've ever scored in your life?
I don't score much goals, so I would say, yeah. what would be second? Pardon?
What would be second?
Second biggest goal? Probably like Pee-wee or something.
I think a shocking celebration from him. You know, like he's such a big personality and he just.
So they get, and then they switch to.
They switch it to Nyes.
And then they switch it back.
Oh, really? Yeah. So it hit the Ottawa D.
I mean, if I'm Nyes, I'm running to the scorekeeper being like, I didn't get a touch on that. Yeah. You know, like.
He already got a freebie in the game.
Yeah, like, I'm not trying to take that away from him.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
25 years from now, we'll remember him like we remember Corey Cross.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And just what a personality, right? Like, this guy is.
How do we remember Corey Cross, by the way?
By that goal. Obviously, like, I remember that goal.
You just need a moment.
Yeah, you just need one. I guess the last clip we could play, because we kind of talked about the 3-0 stuff. Did you want to hear Brady talking about the down being down 3-0?
I think our fans would.
Okay, let's play it. Let's on being down 3-0.
Back-to-back games. It's a one-shot game. Yeah, I mean, this obviously isn't the situation we drew up, but make it the hardest challenge of them all. So, I mean, I've been saying this a lot. It's not too long ago I watched the Red Sox versus Yankees documentary when they came back from 0-3. So it's been done before, and I have the belief that it can happen again.
You're not the
right. Well, it's almost like you had that one tucked away, right?
Yeah. Brady's not healthy, huh?
I tell you what, I was very impressed with him coming back and playing as hard as he did and scoring that goal.
Yeah.
Like when we saw him kind of limp off a little bit.
Hip flexor, groin.
It was, and then he left the bench.
Yeah.
I was almost convinced he's not coming back.
Well, me too, because you can't shoot that up. There's nothing to like.
Like he's hopping.
Yeah.
He's injured. Down. He's grimacing. He's got all the looks of I'm done. He's hunched over on the bench.
That's not great. And so we've seen from the Tkachuks, they don't go away. They want to be a part of it. They're leaders, all that stuff. But I can't imagine he's going to be 100% on Saturday night.
Nope. No way. All right. We can go to break now. Did you get to the Leafs line?
Woo.
All right.
Leafs are up 3-0, boys. Never thought I'd see the day. Never thought I'd see it. Truly.
Okay.
Truly.
Have some more confidence.
Why?
They won the division.
What confidence have they ever given me to be sitting here?
It's not the same team.
So? I'm getting it. I mean, they're still wearing blue and white, right?
But if they go to a conference final, you ain't going to make it.
Conference final, you have Florida next.
Right? Yeah. Are you giving Florida the championship the series win over them? Tampa Bay?
I am.
No.
Here's the...
Oh, that's still got meat on the bone.
Once Hagel gets a 9-year suspension for murdering Barkov.
Can I just say the hushed tones thing quickly before we go to break? Yeah. That's kind of the stick in the mud of this whole situation is who's probably going to be waiting for them in the next round.
All right.
Okay.
Stop it.
Okay. I'm done.
Stay in the present, Sammy.
I'm done. Live in the moment. Live in the moment.
Hope some of your calls can live in the moment.
Oh, they're great.
All right. Leaf line when we return to the Real Kipper and Bourne Show.
The best Blue Jays show out there, period. Blair and Barker. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Leaf Hour Edition. Toronto Maple Leafs looking to close out the Ottawa Senators Saturday night. In the meantime, let's get your thoughts, followers, watchers, listeners.
Love that. Your mic is not working. But I'm going to take this opportunity to tell Kipper that a guy named Blaze Brown shot 61 on the Corn Ferry Tour today. He's 17 years old, and his name is Blaze Brown, 61.
Let me put the
That's
calls
just
in
not
here.
Right.
Not right.
Blaze Brown is the greatest sports name maybe ever.
That is an all-time
Blaze
handle.
Brown.
Blades Brown, 17.
You know, I'm doing a lot.
That's
here.
So cool.
I forgot to put the calls in here. Give me 2 seconds, please.
All right, do you want me to do the read?
No, talk amongst yourselves. It's all good.
Hi, Kip.
I had a friend of mine tell me that, he didn't tell me through our wives that he also got to spend a night in the cabin and play Augusta the other day. I can't take it anymore.
Who?
Well, it doesn't matter who.
I mean, it kind of does.
Well, it's my friend, not yours.
Well, then, I'd be like...
Sammy's always looking to leverage.
No, but like, how have you not done this?
I'm working on it.
All right. The Leafs Line is brought to you by Muskoka Bay Resort, a top 10 ranked Canadian course, part of the Freed Golf Network, fellas. And before we get into the calls, this is in relation to a call that we had early, maybe like the first or second Leaf Line we ever did.
Yep.
Ben from St. John's, who called in and talked about his getting engaged when he went down south. Remember that, Kipper?
Yeah, I do, for sure.
Well, he dropped off today at the Rogers campus. He DM'd me. He dropped off a jersey. A St. John. I'm going to hold this up right.
St. John's.
Look at that.
The Sea Dog.
St. John's Sea Dog jersey. Dropped it off personally. And he wrote, the note he wrote is, Sammy, since you're a junior hockey fan and a big jersey guy, here's a little something from home. This made a car ride, a flight, a TTC, and an Uber without having a song made about its journey. Thanks again for having me on the show from your long-lost brother, Ben and Megan from St. John, New Brunswick. Go Leafs, go.
Thank you very much.
Oh, very cool, very cool. It's a former Seawolf. I love that name.
Don't look now, but we're starting to get a collection.
You know, we're building up a jersey.
You know what the horrible part of the thing is about the St. John Sea Dogs? Huh. They put out my beloved attack of the Memorial Cup.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. Double overtime. Jonathan Huberdeau split the puck in two.
I covered that Memorial Cup with Darren Millard and
cool.
Big junior hockey.
And our next guest in a few minutes.
Big junior hockey.
Doug McLean.
All right. Let's start off this Leafs line. A little international action here. Anne from Italy.
First time calling in. I love you guys, Kipper, Borny, and Sammy. The best of hockey, analytics, and fan base all in one.
Okay.
My cousin in the UK is a huge Montreal Canadiens fan, and I sent him a link to your channel. Now he loves you guys too. Doesn't miss a segment for all things hockey. By the way, I heard during the Leafs Game 3 broadcast, Max and Ty Domi became the first father-son duo in NHL history to score a game-winning goal in overtime with the same franchise against the same franchise. How cool is that? By the way, I heard also there were some shenanigans going on during the pregame warm-up with Cousins shooting a puck at Stolarz. Have you heard anything about that? I didn't. Regarding Game 4 tomorrow, if any of the buds are listening, boys, don't play with your food. Finish your dinner and do the dishes. Go, Leafs, go!
That is awesome.
That's a great call.
Finish your food and do the dishes. That should be the Leafs. They should put. You know how they put that up?
Instead of heart over hype, you should say finish your food and do the dishes.
Do the dishes. Let's go to, let me just double check, because this is a late ad, and this is a really good one. Let's go to Mike in Jasper.
Of all the things that came to mind after Leafs game last night, I'm actually just thinking about Clara Hughes, you know, one of Canada's greatest athletes ever, because she competed in Summer and Winter Olympics. And won medals in both, in cycling and speed skating. And I was just wondering if you think Tim Stützle has that opportunity for Germany, where he competes in the Winter Olympics in hockey and the Summer Olympics in diving. I think that'd be pretty big for him and for Germany. Anyway, love the show, guys.
Wait, Kipper, you can't hear anything?
No.
You got to give him your headphones or something. Some solution here for this guy.
Okay, let me see what I got for you. Hold
Sometimes
on.
They come apart at the back there, Kippy, these things right here.
Yeah, now I got it.
All right.
Are we back?
We're back.
I think we're back.
You back? All right, let's play that call again.
No, hold on.
Oh, okay.
That little jangle at the back usually gets me there.
Yeah, I can get you a set of headphones. Hold on.
Can people stop sending us jerseys and get me a mic?
Well, I will.
Go, tell me about it.
I will ask you about, it's a joke about old Timmy Stützle and the dive factor last night. More or less the Steven Lorenz, was that a penalty on old Lorenz there? Sammy, you got thoughts on that? I'll go ahead and say, oh, good swim drop. I'll go ahead and say total drop, a dive.
Okay, go ahead. I'm good.
Okay, let's play that call again because it's very good. Mike and Jasper.
Of all the things that came to mind after Leafs game last night, I'm actually just thinking about Clara Hughes, you know, one of Canada's greatest athletes ever, because she competed in Summer and Winter Olympics and won medals in both, in cycling and speed skating. And I was just wondering if you think Tim Stützle has that opportunity for Germany, where he competes in the Winter Olympics in hockey and the Summer Olympics in diving. I think that'd be pretty big for him and for Germany. Anyway, love the show, guys.
Quite the reputation.
He's to call out Clara Hughes is wonderful.
He's embarrassing. I mean, the Kachuk dive was embarrassing, too, on Tavares early in the game.
It was Gallagher in Montreal. Don't you remember his post-game comments on Stützle?
Yeah.
Like, he buried him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, you know, you don't have to change your ways. Like, he has success drawing penalties.
They reward it. So why would he stop doing it?
You know, Cotter's done well with that.
But, yeah. Not everybody's going to get fooled, though.
No.
Well.
But, I mean, last night, Holmberg, a little bit of a
big head snap.
Same thing, too, you know?
Totally agree.
It happens.
Yeah. This one's from yesterday, and it's pretty amazing. So let's go to Corey from Newmarket.
So I went without shopping today, and I picked up some those tinfoil wrapped Easter eggs, the different color ones. So I ripped the bag, and a couple of them came out. Ever guess what colors came out? Three of them, they were all blue. Game three, all blue. So I think it's going to be like a 3-0 or 3-2 win. It's karma. It's karma. I believe in karma 100%. Anyways, go Leafs go. Love the show. And, we'll see you next tomorrow. All right.
Corey from Newmarket predicted it with the Easter eggs.
He's got to do it tomorrow night before the game.
I will say I don't know if you guys know or are familiar with Hockey Illuminati, but he's a big Instagram guy. He's been talking about the portal a lot, like all the different omens and stuff that have, like, being our year kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It's another one for the portal.
In psychology, they would call this the priming effect, when you're looking for stuff.
Oh, come on.
You're tuned in to come give on. Me some good stuff.
The portal!
Whatever you want to call it, it's all the same thing.
There's just going to be more surfacing.
Yes.
It won't stop. Like
Corey Cross.
Right?
Ty Domi's son scoring in overtime.
What else do you need?
A cup.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I see.
Okay. Let's go to Curtis in Guelph.
Just on a landscape job hauling some barrows today. A little extra jump in my step after that win last night. But when that goal was scored, I was really noticing, like, I wasn't excited. I wasn't cheering. I was just waiting to see what challenge might be made. And I think the camera crew was doing the same thing. It kept showing fans looking up at the Jumbotron, trying to see a replay. Does that even count? And it's like, I don't know. Has this really gone too far to take the excitement out of the game? I know we want to get things right. But I feel like it's kind of sucked a bit of life out of the game. Regardless, it was awesome. And as a Leafs fan, I hesitate to say this, but in the spirit of the milkman himself, Simone Benoit, like milk comes in Canada, I think we got this in the bag.
Love that.
So,
what's the reference to milk?
Oh, Simone Benoit loves milk, so they called him the milkman.
That's right. Yeah. Well, you know who was the original milkman?
Doug Gilmore.
No.
Karl Malone?
No.
No, he's the mailman.
No. Now this is where I age.
Oh, okay.
Claire Alexander was the milkman for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Is that right?
The first one I can remember.
It's all full circle. Did they win the cup that year?
I think he got out of the first round.
All right.
I hope.
But you remember the Gilmore ads.
Oh, yeah. The painted the legs.
Yeah, that's what I thought you meant.
Yes.
The reason I played that call is because I have the same feeling.
Well, the NFL is like this for me, where every play that happens downfield, there's a shot, you know, completion. It's like, okay, do we get to celebrate or not? Does that count? Is it good? Do we get...
He's right, though.
Yeah.
There's an element that they've sucked out of an instant euphoria.
For sure. But there was no way to take that one back. You know, like immediately. I mean, Brady Kachuk, you saw him look at the thing.
You're just watching it go in.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, I agree with that. So anyways, let's go to Jeremy in Meaford.
Hey, Sam. Thought I'd call in and tell you guys I love the show. Keep up the great work.
Thank you.
Love watching the Leafs this year play under Berube. It's so refreshing. Good goaltending, good defense. I think it's actually different this year. I know, famous last words. Anywho, love the show. Sam, I'm trying to get the city of Bone Sound to recognize your massive fame with a plaque at the Heritage Place Mall in the former location of the Wizard's Castle Arcade. I know you spent a lot of time there. I'll let you know how it goes. Also, Borny, I'm sorry your house is falling apart this spring. I hope things turn around for you. Anyway, thanks, guys.
Yeah, you got to think about moving.
Buddy, your place is dilapidated.
Yeah, it's horrible. The roof, the this, the that.
Well, yeah, I can't afford your house, Kip. Not all of us, made millions in the NHL.
Go back to your shanties.
Yeah. Jeez.
Let's go to one of our favorites. Let's go to Chuck Nelson.
Gentlemen, Chuck Nelson here. I can't believe this Leaf team is up 3-0. I am so happy. I feel really bad, though, for our friend Ian there in Jelly Belly, Ontario, the converted Senators fan. I mean, that guy's going to have bad dreams about Max Domi and Sabone Benoit over and over again. I don't even know why I'm calling them bad dreams. They're nightmares with that smile of Domi's. Anyways, I'm so happy. I don't think I've been this happy since probably before my children were born. Anyways, I'm really, really happy. 3-0. I got two more things to say. A, I hope that this call doesn't come back to bite me in the rear. And B, I really hope my children aren't listening. Anyways, I'm Chuck Nelson. You've seen my movies.
I have a proposal. I think Chuck should do our ad reads. We should have him record them. He's got a great voice and energy for reads. And we'll just...
I don't know if we can afford him.
You're probably
Chuck
right.
Nelson here.
Chuck Nelson.
You know what I'm saying? We got this guy's built for it.
Oh, my God. This one's short. Let's go to Nick in Sterling, Ontario.
I just want to say the Leafs feel different this year, don't they? You know, when you turn 30 and the highs are less high and the lows are less low, you're just more mature. Very eager to hear your guys' thoughts. Have a great day. Cheers.
It's been the theme all season long that it's feels different in terms of style of play. Like if they can just slide this into a playoff scenario.
Habits take time to break.
You get a better chance at keeping games close and waiting for your opportunities opposed to forcing them.
I guess my only question is, in your 30s, is your 30s where that thing started? I had some highs and lows, boy. Yeah.
So who's the comedian that says in your 20s, you're like, let's go. I'll go anywhere.
Nate Bargatze.
Yeah, Nate.
Yeah.
And then in your 30s, it's like, where are we going?
Yeah.
What time are we coming back?
I'm driving myself.
Yes. We're taking separate cars.
Very true.
All right, that's it. Leaf Line was brought to you by Muskoka Bay Resort, a top 10 ranked Canadian course, part of the Freed Golf Network. And a reminder to golf fans out there, Sportsnet and Muskoka Bay Resort have come together with an amazing contest. Text the word Muskoka to 590-590 for your chance to golf at one of Canada's top 10 ranked courses with a night in an incredible 3-bedroom villa for you and 3 friends. Just text the word Muskoka to 590-590 for your chance to win and visit sportsnet.ca/590contest for more details. Standard message and data rates may apply.
590-590 Muskoka.
Great job on the Leaf Line. A lot of people enjoying the moment so far. 3-0 that they're up.
Yeah.
I think emotionally, Leaf fans get to enjoy a first-round success rate more than other teams because they've been far and few.
But I also think this has been different in that they haven't chased games, so it hasn't felt like the crushing weight of it all falling apart. It's been a rather enjoyable series if you're a Leafs fan. You've either been up or tied and OT winners.
It's been a more comfortable feel.
Yeah.
Instead of being stressed out.
What do we do now?
Just win Saturday. Please.
Plenty of stress.
Please win.
Please win on
Still
Saturday.
Coming on the show because we've got Doug McClain, former NHL president, GM, head coach, and now I don't know what he is.
Beachgoer.
Our analyst.
Mac, when we return on our national side.